Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Rob, you there?
I'm here. Let's make it do what it do.
Yeah, let's do it go. Yes, sir. Welcome to another episode of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am one of your hosts, Mr. JQ. Sorry, we're a little rushed here. We can't find Andre. We're going to have to put him on the milk carton. He normally gets us started. But I'm sure he may join us here soon. But I got my man, Mr. New Orleans, Mr. Bowdy, Ice Cream Man himself, Robert Ford. How you doing, bro?
Making it do what it do, man. Couldn't be better. What's happening?
Oh, man, I'm sitting here watching the end of this bowl game. For y'all out there that's listening and download the podcast, the A&M Louisville game is actually getting pretty good here in the second half. But we got a lot of stuff to get to. Hopefully, Dre can join us. Dial in as usual. The number is 424-243-9519. You can find us on Facebook and Talking Sports with the 12th Man as well. We're going to dive into a couple of topics here. I'm sure by now you've all known, and we talked about it a little bit, but I didn't think it would happen actually in season, the Eagles firing Chip Kelly. What do you think about that, Rob? I mean, we kind of saw it coming, but I'm still surprised that they did it before the end of the year.
Yeah, a little surprised, but not a big surprise. I mean, I thought we maybe would have seen it come Black Monday, the day after the regular season. But I guess the Eagles wanted to go ahead and move forward right away. Pat Shurmur is going to take over the interim role. And, you know, he's actually had a winning record in three seasons, but it's just a lot of turmoil, a lot of, a lot of players not agreeing with a lot of things going on within the organization. A lot of players didn't agree with a lot of things Chip Kelly was doing. Of course, Jeffrey Lurie listened to those complaints and things of that nature and decided to put a plug on Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly actually... You know, I'm thinking he may go back to college, but he's made it clear that he wants to stay in the NFL. And I know even you've made some points about him going to the Titans, and I actually think that's, you know, a very good fit. And I think that's definitely his first choice would be to reunite with Mariota. Some other options would be to, go to Cleveland and try to see if he can run a spread with Manziel. And even Miami could be an option for him as well. But I definitely think we saw this coming. With the Eagles, with them splitting.
Yeah, and I think the other piece of it is I thought may happen if he would agree to it, but he didn't, was the fact that Lurie talked to him and said, I would like to keep you as a coach, but I think I need to strip you of your personnel decision-making. And he balked at that. And I was just like, how big of an ego do you have to have, right? When the owner comes to you and says, I want to keep you in this capacity, and you say, no, but take away this from me. You say, no, it's either all of it or none of it. And then you get yourself fired. I found that to be really strange on his part. It's almost like he was sabotaging himself so he can get out of that situation and go to Tennessee. And I think he wants to go to Tennessee, all things being considered. They can't let him, shop for the groceries anymore. But Mariota's familiar with what he wants to do. And when you have your quarterback be familiar with it and be that kind of guy, he can help, disseminate that information down to everybody else on the team. So I agree. I think he wants to stay and go to Tennessee as his first option. But I don't know if the stench of what he's done in Philadelphia so far, it may follow him, right? So Tennessee may not want him. Let's talk about some teams that actually are going to the playoffs. We had a little bit more clarity this week than we had previous week in terms of which teams are in and which teams have been pretty much eliminated at this point. We kind of just are looking at the seeding, so to speak. So, Rob, I'm going to let you rattle it off for the good people for the NFC and the AFC.
I'm going to try to get through this pretty quickly. Some of this makes sense. Some of it could be a little confusing. We look at the New England Patriots and the AFC. Of course, they've clinched the AFC East. They've also clinched the first round bye. They have not clinched the number one seed yet. Of course, they need to win in order to clinch that. Or, of course, a Broncos loss or tie will give them the number one seed going into the playoffs here. The Broncos, of course, they've clinched a playoff spot, but they have not clinched their division yet. They have to, of course, win or, you know, have a Chiefs loss in order to win a division. And they still have a shot at the number one seed, of course. If they win and the Patriots lose, they'll get the number one seed in the AFC. The Bengals, of course, have clinched the AFC North. They can't clinch the number one seed anymore, but they still have a shot at a first-round bye if they can get a win. And, of course, the Broncos lose going into this weekend. So we'll see what happens there. I know you following that very closely, JQ.
And man, that hurt my heart.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, we made our predictions. We both picked the Bengals last week, and I called for the Bengals to win 20-17, and that was actually the final score, but the wrong team won.
Yeah, they should have won that game 20-17. What's going on, Dre?
Yeah.
What's up?
Dr. Dre is in the house, huh?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, man.
Dre
weird,
in the fold. Welcome.
Carry on. I'm just going to be a fly on the wall here, man. I promise I'll take care of everything like that. And, yeah, anyway, guys. I'm just going to be a fly.
Well,
go ahead, guys.
We just gone over some playoff scenarios here real quick. I'll finish that up, and then we can move on. Now going on to the Houston Texans. Of course, they're in first place in the AFC South. A win, of course, automatically gives them the division title. Our coach loss, of course, will give them the division title as well. The Chiefs, they're holding out a number one wild card. They still have a chance to win the division. Of course, if they win and the Broncos lose, they get the AFC West title. The Jets and the Steelers, of course, are still battling out for that final playoff spot in the AFC. The Jets win, they're in. If the Jets lose and the Steelers win, the Steelers will be in the AFC. And the Colts still have a small chance of winning their division. Yeah.
It's crazy, you got 10 things happen.
9 things, yeah. If the Texans lose, if the Colts win, the Jaguars win, the Bills win, the Dolphins win, the Ravens win, the Falcons win, the Raiders win, the Broncos win, and the Steelers win, the Colts are in.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Good luck, Colts.
Right.
In the NFC,
so you're saying
the 16,
there's a chance.
There is
exactly.
A chance. You saw that Jim Carrey post, huh? Oh, you're saying there's a chance. In the NFC, the 6 teams are set, but the seedings are still up for grabs. Of course, the Panthers have clinched the bye and their division. If they win, they clinch the number one seed. If they lose and the Cardinals win, the Cardinals will get the number one seed in the NFC. The Packers and the Vikings are battling for the NFC North title. The Packers, of course, if they win, they're the division titles, and the same applies to the Vikings. And, of course, the Redskins have the number 4 seed, and the Seahawks, if they win and the Vikings lose, they will move up to number 5. But, of course, if the Seahawks lose, they will stay at the number 6 position. So hopefully that makes sense. I think the most confusing thing is the Colts' chances of making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's next level MIT math for the Colts. But the thing about that, and I wanted to ask you about, and both of you guys, is that it's almost winning the NFC North is not going to be a blessing. You know, it's going to be a curse in disguise because I think Arizona beat Seattle, and Seattle's the 6 seed, and you're looking at, okay, if we win the NFC North, we got the 3 seed, and yeah, they're coming to our place, but do you really want to see Seattle in the first round as opposed to losing that game and falling to the 5th seed and being locked into Washington, who's been playing better lately? But I much rather go to D.C. than play to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Seattle's a playoff-tested team. I mean, they were hot up until this past week when they lost. But I agree with you, though. I think Arizona and Carolina, they're both playing in the late afternoon game on Sunday, so both have to win. So I think Arizona plays this game to win, and I think they beat Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Jump in here, Dre.
No, I confer to you. It's going to be – I mean, it's one of the situations, like you said, guys. You know, Seattle's battle-tested. I agree with Rob. Yeah, you may. I'd rather much rather face Washington, but you know, as always, it's always encouraging to see how the playoffs going to play out for the end. So, carry on, sir.
Yeah. So I don't know if anybody got to the theater. I did not to go see Concussion, but I do want to go see it. I've heard that they made a big push to let the ex-players and people associated with NFL see it, and some of them like that they're bringing the concussion issue to the forefront, but they feel like Hollywood took a lot of creative licenses with in the way they told the story. So I'm wondering, that, you know, the NFL is trying to put a brave face on, but then it came out that they withdrew from the funding for brain trauma research, which when the concussion movie comes out, why you would do that, I don't know. They're just shooting themselves in the foot. So I give it to you here first, Dre. Have you seen it yet, and what are your thoughts on the movie and how the NFL is handling it's come out and the fallout so far?
Yeah, we talked about this last week, guys, so I got to be honest. I'm not a total fan of watching this, only because of the fact that I think it's going to ruin the game that I like. I mean, like I said, I know that Will Smith is a great actor, obviously, but for now, I mean, I was kind of like I was sort of 50-50, so – like I said, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not like, hey, I got to see this movie like a Star Wars or something like that. But that's just me. Obviously, it's one of the situations where I know the NFL, they're doing like a lot of stuff. You also realize that it's like good publicity, bad publicity can also be good for your product. But for me personally, it's not something I want to go out and run and see.
Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm intrigued about going to see the movie. I don't think it's going to stop me from being a football fan by going to see this movie, but I think I just would like to be a little bit more educated on what's happening behind the scenes. And you know me, anything that makes Roger Goodell look bad, I'm all for. And so I mean, if it's going to paint Roger Goodell in a bad picture, hey, I'm right there at the box office wanting to see that movie with the quickness. And hopefully I'll get a chance to see it here within the next week or so. But I'm definitely very intrigued on what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, obviously for those, of course, you know, who have sons and may have an interest in playing football, I mean, I think this could be some good information so you can be aware and a little bit more knowledgeable about the danger of playing the game as well. I mean, we all know football. I always say, basketball is a physical sport, but football is a collision sport. And so there are a lot of dangers that are involved in playing the game. But it's not going to stop me from watching it.
I agree with that. I'm with you, Rob. I feel like, you know, and both all three of us are big football fans, and I still feel like I'm going to watch the game. And I also feel like, especially after Junior Seau committed suicide, given the player that he was and how he conducted himself, and then for him to commit suicide and then perform the view on his brain, and it revealed that he had CTE as well. You know, that let me know that it was already there and prevalent. But these guys know the risks they take to make this money and to play a game that they love. They kind of play a little Russian roulette with their body, and they know that. So I just wanted to see it in terms of, like Rob said, how much of a cover up was it that they tried to keep it from us and what they knew when, right? But I don't know if we'll always get there. Just from what I've heard from just some of the ex players that, you know, they took a little creative license with it, but I'm glad that they're bringing it to the forefront, especially for the people that have little boys that want to play football, so they can make a more educated decision on whether they should let them play. So, I'm interested to see how that affects the NFL. We talked about Chip already a little bit. Gus Bradley, I think he's got the Jaguars moving in the right direction. I actually had a conversation with somebody recently about it. Can you imagine how ignorant that team would be if Justin Blackman was still there, if they were able to still assemble most of those pieces? I mean, between Hearns and Robinson and Yeldon and Julius Thomas and Bortles, if they can just get a defense, I think that Jacksonville will be on their way. So I think that's a good move by him. Rob, what do you think about that? You think it's time to pull the plug on him, or you think he's going to move in the right direction?
I actually agree with you. I think that you're looking at a team that I thought made some strides this year, especially offensively. And they're a dangerous football team. They can score a lot of points. Bortles really moved up as being the upper echelon quarterback in the league this season, with over 30-something touchdown passes. I mean, he's really stepped up his game just in his second year in the league. So you got to be very pleased with that pick of Bortles. And you got to remember, the first-round pick this past draft year was was done for the season before the draft here. So they're going to get some defensive help with him when he comes back. You get yourself another draft class coming up this year. The defense is going to have to be addressed. And Gus Bradley is a defensive coach. So I say you give him another year at least to try to get this ship and write it in the right direction. Just a couple of weeks ago, we thought Jacksonville had a chance of possibly contending for the division, but they've lost two games in a row. Now they've fallen out. But I still think they've made some strides, especially offensively.
Yeah, come on, get some of that, Dre.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's a great move to keep Gus Bradley. Sometimes, you know, certain coaches that you know, I know you guys talked about Chip Kelly earlier, but you kind of saw the differences. You know, 3 years in, you know, Chip Kelly's team was going downward, but Gus Bradley has his team on an uptick. Obviously, the players are very they've been a fan of him. And you also like what you're hearing, too, like, you know, Rob said, you know, Bud Dupree was out. So if you imagine him having a Bud Dupree, their number one draft pick, and they're, you know, what a difference. And I know he's a rookie, but, you know, he has that team playing on the right uptick. So I think it's a great move to retain him and see how the future holds for Jacksonville. And, yeah, I mean, it sucks that you lost a couple of weapons, too. So they're definitely moving in the right direction, guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we're all in agreement that Jaguars are trending up. Oh, and news that allows my heart to start beating again. A.J. McCarron, hoping to play after MRI reveals it's just a sprained wrist, even though he kind of put himself in that situation by fumbling the ball. But the first half of that Denver game on Monday night, he was halfway to taking Andy Dalton's job. I'm a firm believer that he was halfway there. To go on the road in prime time when you've all struggled as a team and to get the opening kickoff, that first half period, you know, it's not his fault they missed the field goal. To get 14 points and to have 2 7-plus minute drives on the road against the number one rated defense and you're both playing for the number one bye, he almost took his job. It kind of fell apart when they switched the defense on him in the second half. But I was really impressed with the way he came in there with his maturity. He just has a moxie about him that's not too big for him. And I believe that playing to Alabama and winning those two championships really has helped his growth, and the game is not too big for him. So that's me. You know, I'm a Bengals fan. I don't know if you anybody wants to jump in on that, but I think he still gives them a chance to win. I think he showed the rest of the country and the other teams that the Bengals are still going to be something, a force to be reckoned with, even though they're down Andy Dalton, he's not able to play with the broken thumb.
Rob, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for the most part, I agree with that as well. I mean, I was very impressed the way they jumped out to a 14-0 lead. I thought they were well on their way to a victory on Monday night against a very sound Broncos defense and Broncos pass rush. I thought he stood back in there confidently. Obviously, they didn't get it done in the second half, but he definitely showed some strides that, you know, I'm sure that other teams are taking note. That he can possibly be a starter in this National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was gonna say that too, JQ, because I was wondering what your thoughts about, because at first we're like, okay, Andy Dalton is gone, and then was it, you know, is there going to be like a quarterback controversy because, you know, you wanted to see what AJ did, and like you said, he played surprisingly well, you know, minus that last game, obviously last play of the game, but you know, he had the Bengals in it, so you guys weren't definitely, you know, he didn't sound like he was scared. He was ready for the moment, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, and the T-shirts, they write themselves, right? AJ to AJ, AJ squared. I mean, listen,
they're going to give him
every opportunity to do that. If you don't think that marketing comes into it, because that would be just a huge moneymaker. I would have one. I'm going to tell you, I would have one in multiple colors. So that's just me. And another piece of sad news that, you know, just a phenomenal talent that just can't stay on the field. You know, Jadeveon Clowney for the Texans pushing to win that AFC South, and they probably will, day-to-day with a foot injury. And, Rob, I mean, again, it's always something with this dude. He has all the talent, but he just can't stay on the field.
Yeah, and you wonder, you know, if the Texans are going to get the return on their investment, you know, with this pick, you know, a lot of talent. Obviously, they've been getting it done for the most part without him. But just think how scary this defense can be if they can get him on the same page and with J.J. Watt, on those two guys coming on the opposite ends, rushing the quarterback. And so that's what the Texans still have hope for. Obviously, if they can, you know, get something out of him going into this playoff run, it would be, you know, a big help to that football team. and definitely going forward as well. This could be a very scary defense and pass rush if they can get him healthy.
Yeah, Dre, so is he a bust, man? Can we call him a bust yet?
You know, I'm going to wait till the end of the season, sir. It's kind of sucks because J.J. Watt's been banged up. And here you have a great opportunity for Jadeveon to kind of step in and kind of do his thing. But, you know, like you said, he hasn't played, man. I mean, and that's the thing. I think if we have – I'm going to give him one more year. And then if he doesn't play next year, then I'm going to officially call him a bust right now too. But right now, you just hope that he stays healthy. I mean, I don't know if there's another player, Rob, or anyone that J.K. think about that kind of had a rough start and then, you know, eventually kind of like righted the ship and kind of got healthy. But, you know, if you get that stigma – you know, then it's going to follow you all the way around. But right now, it's just nothing but potential at this juncture.
Yeah, I think you got to wait after at least 3 years. Got to give him one more year to kind of do that evaluation process and to whether you can say he's a bust or not.
One more year.
Okay.
One more year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. So I'm giving one more year. I got you. I'm giving 3 years. We got about 7 minutes left. We talked enough about Chip Kelly. I think we all saw that coming. predictions. We've got some big games this week. You know, Seattle and Arizona. I think we all think that Carolina is probably going to be Tampa Bay. So Arizona needing to beat Seattle. I hope that Carolina loses. I'm going to go with you first, Dre. Who you got, Seattle and Arizona, this Sunday?
This is a great matchup, gentlemen. I think Arizona's been playing really well. I think that the way that Bruce Arians wanted to kind of keep them going strong, he realizes that they want to stay focused going into the playoffs. So I kind of like Arizona at home, but it's going to be a tight game. I think it's probably going to be less than 7 points, but that's my prediction, only because Arizona's playing at home.
Gotcha. What about you, Rob?
I like Arizona, too. I just really like the way they're playing both sides of the football. I think Bruce Arians done a phenomenal job, and to me they're playing – even better than the Panthers when you look at the grand scheme of things in the NFC. I like the Cardinals.
I agree. I love Bruce Arians with the big running back and the big wide receivers, and we're going to run it at you and run it down your throat, and then we're going to pull it out, and we're just going to bomb you with these three wide receivers. They're going to be a tough out in the NFC and in the playoffs, period, because I'm going to just go ahead and pick them for the Super Bowl right now, okay? I said it. Arizona NFC, because the way they're playing, if they can keep David Johnson healthy, they keep everybody upright, I think they've got a really good shot. Our next one, we spoke about a little earlier, Minnesota and Green Bay for the right, probably if we all are right about Arizona being Seattle, about for the winner to get Seattle at home and for the loser to go to Washington. So I'm going to throw this one first to you there, Rob. Who do you think emerges at Lambeau this Sunday?
I tell you what, I don't really like the way Green Bay is playing. I think Aaron Rodgers is even not playing his best football right now, but it's still hard for me to pick against Green Bay at home in Lambeau Field. I think this game is going to be a really close game. I think it's going to be a good football game. I think Green Bay squeaks it out, but I'm not a big fan of the way they've been playing lately.
What about you, Dre?
Yeah, I agree with Rob. I was going to say the exact same thing. I mean, it was a tough game for them last week. You know, I agree with Rob that it's tough, you know, playing at Lambeau Field. So, and you want them to kind of play well, too, because they just kind of had a stinker last week. So I think they can bounce back for sure, only because of the circumstances it's at Lambeau Field for sure. So I agree with you, Rob, on that from that standpoint for sure.
And count me in as well. I think the issue is that Minnesota has a solid defense. They don't have a great defense, so to speak. And Linville Joseph has been playing really well for them at defensive tackle. But I just don't think they have all the edge rushers consistently to take advantage of that bad Green Bay offensive line. They can probably hold Eddie Lacy down, but I think Aaron Rodgers makes just enough plays, like you guys said, to get that division title playing at home. Going into about 4 minutes left here, Rob, if you want to go ahead and do the fancy shout-outs and set us up for the OT, that'd be much appreciated.
Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, I'm a little disappointed. I played in 2 fantasy football championships this past weekend and lost them both. So, not too happy about that. But, hey, you know, I'll be ready for next season. But we just want to like to say thanks to all of the people that competed in our fantasy leagues this year. Look forward to competing with you all again on next season. Want to congratulate our champions of league number one, Sean, Black and Gold Patrol from the Atlanta area, won 192.60. to 128.6, the over Smoking Aces. Turned down Chester right here in New Orleans, won league number two, 164.18 to 143.96 over Fleur de Lis. And also Chester turned up in league three, won also 113.93 over myself, 105.04. So those are our champions from the fantasy football. And once again, congratulations to you all winning. Just a quick fantasy basketball shout-outs. The biggest wins of this past week, Naptown Unibrows is Matthew from Indianapolis with a 7-1 win over Madhouse over Madison. Also, Ronald, Saints Pelicans 23 here in New Orleans with a 7-1 win as well. And myself, I had a 7-1 win. Fadeaway Jumper beat the Droot 7-1. So we had three people with 7-1 wins. And Saints Pelicans 23. Ronald here from New Orleans holding out first place so far in the fantasy basketball. So those are our fantasy shout outs for the week.
I was 6-2. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for y'all. Moving on up like George and Weezy. I'm coming.
I'm just seeing it. Yeah.
Go ahead,
moving
man.
Moving on up.
Go ahead, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to go into our OT portion here in a little bit. Next week we'll be on Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our OT portion that we're getting ready to go into, unfortunately, we cannot bring that to you live, but we still got a lot of basketball. We got some college football we're going to get into in our OT portion. So on tomorrow, I tell you, when you – you know, right before you get ready to go watch some fireworks, click on the same link and listen to our OT portion, and you can get all of our previews. Actually, you want to listen to this in the morning so you can get the preview for our bowl games on tomorrow. So you don't want to miss that in the morning when you get up. Click on the same link, and we can get you ready for the college bowl game. So you don't want to miss that, people. Good night.
Go ahead and say goodbye to the good people, Dre.
You know, I don't think you put enough bowl games on there too, Rob, by the way, man. So, you know,
there's too many bowl games. There's too many of them.
I couldn't even put the description that's saying they got too many characters for the pocket sports. It's all good. Yeah, thank you, fellas. I got family in town, man, and so I apologize for jumping on it, man. I was trying to do that, and I literally set the alarm, and I just, boom. So, anyway, I still love you guys, man. Appreciate the show. Still going on. A lot of love for you guys. I got a move for every move you make. A lot of love. Peace out, guys. Hope you guys have a fantastic holidays as well.
Absolutely. Hey, it happens to the best of us, man. It's all good. And I echo that. Everybody out there, have a safe and happy New Year's Eve. Make sure you cab it. Make sure you Uber it. Don't get behind the wheel of that car if you've been drinking, because
yes,
you either get locked up or you're beating kids yourself. So please do that. And, you know, as always, stay classy, San Diego, but also stay classy, Ohio. I mean, goodness gracious, Columbus and Cincinnati. What are y'all doing? Relax. Go somewhere, sit down. Read a book. You know, watch the TV. You know, Netflix and chill. Good evening, y'all. We're going to head into the OT portion now.
Happy New Year, people.
Happy New Year.
There are a couple that I want to get to before we just jump to the bowls, because we got a lot to talk to. But from a social standpoint, the LeBron James protest, I just wanted to, you know, before I say anything, just throw that out there to you, Rob, because I applaud him standing up, and I wish more, you know, of our bros would come out there and do that. They have such a forum to do it. I wish they would do it. But just give me your thoughts on that.
Well, obviously, I agree. I agree that he's, you know, speaking out on it, taking a stance on it. And obviously, he probably could have his biggest impact on Cleveland than anybody else in that city. And you know, whether what the mayor is saying, of any other sports figure, he's the biggest sports figure, the biggest icon in Cleveland. And so obviously I think what he does will definitely take notice. And, you know, there's some talk of him possibly protesting games to try to get Cleveland's attention. I don't necessarily think that's the right thing, because you signed a contract with the Cavs. But I think there's other things that he can do to get people's attention in that market. And you know, and hopefully he does, because, you know, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And I would like to see him take a big stance on this and get people's attention there in Cleveland.
I concur. What about you, Dre?
Yeah, I agree, man. And gentlemen, I think this is kind of bigger than I think before, earlier, you had some situations where athletes, they didn't want to put themselves in the crossfire. But because you have that platform, this is a great opportunity to do that. You know, obviously, Tamir Rice, who we talked about, you know, had some situations with running into that police, and it was kind of a tragic scenario. So, you know, I applaud LeBron. He has a great platform. He's got all those followers. You know, he's pretty much a global figure. So whatever he says something, you know, people are going to latch onto that. So I think it's a great opportunity for athletes to realize you guys do have a say, social, economically, everything, to not just be in a little cocoon and just only focus about that, but actually use that platform that you have for good, if you will. So, you know, more people, more athletes should actually kind of follow that example and not be scared regardless of, you know, kind of the negative, you know, I guess, backlash, if you will, but to realize you have a unique platform to actually say something. So that's my two cents on that for sure.
Absolutely, and that's the point I was starting with, that you with all the day and age of social media, and like you said, the platform is the best term for it, of what you have available to make a difference in this world, these people that look up to you and want things from you to put forth of, you know, I'm just not going to take your money, I'm not out here for you to ogle at and try to make a buck off of. You know, I stand for something and make a change, you know, back to the Jim Browns of the world into what he said about Kobe. But, yeah, I applaud that, and I go with the whole Republicans buy sneakers too kind of thing. Before we get to the Bulls, I just want to talk about one more thing with Jim Brown and Kobe Bryant, because it hits close to me, and I find myself telling my wife this all the time. I walked away from $25 million to stay on top. I mean, it at some point you got to get right, and – I applaud him. I think more people should do that. I mean, sometimes you got to get what you got to get, but once you already have it and it's just gratuitous, it's about, you know, what's more important to you. So I'm going to go to you, back to you, Dre. What did you think about that when Jim said that about Kobe?
Yeah, man, it was just, it's one of those situations. It's the same thing too, where you have that same, I'm trying to figure out the word to say too, JQ, because like whenever I first thought about that, you know, you have nothing but respect for Jim Brown. He was just kind of like an icon in his time too. I mean, he's still an icon right now too. So I kind of agree with what he was saying. I think he got respect. And that's kind of what he wanted to do. You know, go out at this age, and you know, don't let anyone tarnish his, you know, his legacy or anything like that too. So. It wasn't about the money. It was about, hey, this is my reputation. This is me. I guess I can't think of the right words how to put into that. I just put Jim Brown on such a pedestal too. So I just think it's something that, you know, all athletes should realize too. It's not about money. You know, just kind of leave him on top and kind of leave a better legacy, I guess, is the right words. I'll let kind of Rob kind of take that. That's kind of my first thought whenever he was talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Rob.
Obviously, I respect Jim Brown. I think, you know, I still think he's probably the best running back that ever played the game. You won't see this from a stats point standpoint because he, once again, he did retire pretty early and on time. But I think it's a little unfair, and you all know I'm not a Kobe. I'm not really a Kobe Bryant fan. But
no.
I think it's a little unfair for what Jim Brown is saying because, number one, NFL players weren't making $25 million at that time, so he didn't have to walk away from that kind of money. So I don't think it's fair to make that kind of comparison. Jim Brown didn't walk away from $25 million.
Wow.
Number one. So, I mean, it's true. They weren't making that kind of money at that time in the NFL. So, I mean, he did not. So it could have been a different story if they were making that kind of money. Maybe he would have stayed. Who knows? And so I don't think that's fair. For him to make that kind of comment in regards to Kobe Bryant. And I think another thing is, you know, Kobe Bryant obviously didn't expect to get hurt these last couple of years either. And I think that also, you know, along with age and his body just took some wear and tear, and you know, those injuries, of course, didn't help. And so I don't necessarily think that's a fair assessment on Jim Brown's part, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of different, though, Rob. I think, I'm sorry, JQ. I think it's a little different than that. So just because of the fact that I think he was talking about more or less to the point where his skills had eroded, or his skills have eroded. So don't just keep playing in that instance too. I mean, like I said, if there's an opportunity to make $25 million, you can invest in your community or something like that. Yeah, go for that. But I think I'm hoping he's not talking about, you know, hey, you know, your skills are eroding and you're just here just you know getting all this money for that. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not wording it correctly. That's kind of where I think it's kind of going from that vantage point.
Yeah, I mean, it was good discussion. I mean, there are 2 points, points right, but yeah, you're probably right, Robbie. So you didn't walk away from the $25 million. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
You didn't have a concept of $25 million right there. We got about 9 minutes before the lady cuts me off, so I want to delve into the bowl.
She will cut you off with the quickness, too.
She will.
I mean, no problems at all. No consciousness. So we'll have time to talk about some basketball in the upcoming weeks when we get in that dead zone. We don't have much football. So let's get into some bowls, and I'll throw Rob a bone there, even though we know I knew that Texas Tech's run defense was absolutely horrid. But Leonard Fournette came back and showed us again why he's Leonard Fournette. So, you know, shout out to LSU. But we got a big slate of games to get to, and I want to at least get to the New Year's Six if we don't get to any of the other ones. So right here, Chick-fil-A Bowl. Florida State and Houston. Who you got, Rob?
I'm going to go with Florida State. I think, I think the talent level, even though Houston had a great year, I think there's, you know, a disparity in the talent level.
Agree. And the speed, even though Houston's got some speed, I think Florida State, that Florida speed is going to show up. What about you, Dre?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Florida State, no doubt.
Okay. So to one of the semifinals, Clemson versus Oklahoma. I'm going to go to you first, right, even though I'm pretty sure I know who you're going to pick.
Ooh, yeah, I'm not going to Oklahoma for sure, guys. You know that. Bob, big little game Stoops. Clemson easily in this one. Dabo's been pumping them up. This team is ready to go, man. I like Clemson in this matchup.
Let me just, if we have any first-time listeners out there tonight, let me just educate them a little bit. If there's a Big Ten team, JQ is going to pick the Big Ten team. If there's an ACC team, Andre is going to pick an ACC team. So if you're a first-time listener, just want to, you know, brief y'all on that history a little bit. But we can let's
see, that ain't
that.
Always true.
If you're an SEC team, Rob is going to pick the SEC team. Sorry, go ahead, Rob.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I'm saying, okay, don't leave yourself out of that.
We all have our allegiance, don't we? I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on, give me your pick, Rob.
I'm actually going to go with Oklahoma. I think they, toward the end of the season, was playing as good as anybody in the country. Baker Mayfield, I think they're good on both sides of the ball. You all know my thoughts. I thought they should have been a number three seed, but I think deep down, I think the committee thinks Alabama and Oklahoma are the two best teams and wanted to put them in separate brackets. Even though it was unfair to Clemson, I like Oklahoma in this game. It's not because of the three guys suspended either.
Right. I was going to go Oklahoma, too. I was going to go with Baker Mayfield. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder, not making the Heisman, being able to go to New York. And then that run game with Perrine and Mixon is pretty good for Oklahoma.
Unbelievable.
And Bob Stoops is from Ohio, so I'm going with Bob Stoops. I'm sorry, Dre. In the other semifinal,
all good.
Alabama and Michigan State. Rob, who you got here, even though I'm pretty sure I know who you're going to pick.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to say this. I hate Alabama. I hope Michigan State beats them some kind of way, but I just don't see it. I mean, when LSU played Alabama, I picked Alabama. I mean, I like it. I don't even think this game is going to be close, gentlemen. I think Alabama blows them out. I'm thinking at least 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Ooh. What about you, Dre?
I think Alabama's going to win, but, you know, Michigan State, they're going to be ready for Derrick Henry, though. I'm just saying, I think it's going to be a little closer than we expect, but I think that Alabama will pull away, but, you know, maybe like by a touchdown or something like that. But, you know, I think it's going to be a pretty interesting game for sure. That's me. I don't know.
I agree. He put me out there, and I was always going to pick Alabama against a Big Ten team. I'm going to go with Alabama, but not by 3 touchdowns, but by 2 touchdowns. I think Alabama, Derrick Henry starts to wear on that defense in that second half of that game. I'm not sure Michigan State has enough offensive skill players to actually challenge that Alabama defense. Let's throw it to the
Sometimes teams just match up poorly with teams, too. I think Michigan State's strength it goes right into the hands of what Alabama's strength is, and running that kind of ground game runs right into the strength of Alabama's defense, and I just think it's a bad matchup for Michigan State.
Agreed. So before we get out of here, we got 4 minutes, so we got to get a little faster. Fiesta Bowl, we know the Dame in Ohio State. I'm just going to not say anything because you already know where I am on this one. So, Dre, go for it, bro.
I'm just like tripping out. Ohio State, come on. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, we'll make it easy. Ohio State, I just think the talent level is also a disparity in this matchup. Ohio State, too much talent for Notre Dame.
Definitely.
Hey, listen to that.
Even though Notre Dame is going to have two top 10 picks, but I still think over top to bottom, Ohio State's more talented.
Ohio State.
Yeah, and probably going to be the least watched of the six, I think. Stanford and Iowa, one of my friends called it West Coast white man football, and that's coming from a white man. So, I'm going to go with Stanford just because I think Christian McCaffrey in the return game, he's either going to do something dynamic on a punt or a kickoff that's going to be a difference in the game. What do you think about that, Dre?
Yeah, I love Stanford as well. I agree 100%.
I like Stanford. Make it 100.
All right. And the sugar down Rob's way, Oklahoma State and Ole Miss. That's going to be a shootout. I'm not sure. What you think, Rob?
I'm going to go to Ole Miss. I like the way they finished the season. They finished the season really strong, blowing out opponents. I like Ole Miss. I'll be attending that game, doing some scouting. So I like Ole Miss in the game.
Uh-oh. Inside information. Go ahead, Dre.
I just want to pick against Robert, Oklahoma State. Whoever has the ball last is going to win that. Okay.
Yeah, all things being equal, and if they're not playing the Big Ten, I'm going to take the SEC, just the speed and the big game factor. the Alamo Bowl, that's a really intriguing matchup. Number 11, TCU, and number 15, Oregon. Another shootout. They're going to put a lot of points up on the board. Who you got there, Rob?
I like Oregon. I like the way they finished the season strong, too. Vernon Adams coming on strong. I like the way they're playing right now. I'm going to Oregon.
Yeah. What about you, Dre?
I like TCU because of the color of the uniforms.
Shut up.
That sounds like something
totally
a female
joking.
Would say.
I'm totally joking, bro. I'm going to Oregon. I'm totally joking, guys. Oregon all the way.
Yeah. I'm going to make that unanimous. I'm going to go with Oregon as well. I want us to be able to say goodbye before we get cut off because we don't always get to 11:45, and I think we're right on that. Go ahead, Dre, and end it out for us.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm going to have a good weekend. No, it's going to be fun, guys. good show. And, enjoy the bowl games, guys, and enjoy your New Year's. I'll be DJing, so have some fun, guys. Be good.
Uh-oh. Next on New Year's Eve. I see you. Go ahead, Rob.
Be safe, everyone. Happy New Year to you. Join us on Monday night next week. You don't want to miss it. We'll get set for the NFL playoffs.
Absolutely. Sorry we couldn't get to all the games, but have a fantastic and safe New Year's, and we'll talk to y'all in 2016. Great show as always, bros. Be talking to y'all. I'm sure we'll be texting over these games, and we'll give everybody our opinions on the next week. Everybody be cool. Be safe. Download the podcast.